How do you think the centurion servant got free? Faith words. Amen. Amen. I want to show you this in action. Go to Matthew 8 and verse 16. Praise God. But no, you know, everybody like talk behind people's back. This person's doing this and this is going on and my boss did this. And did you believe the pastor did this and this is going on? It's like, ah, your words. You know, the Bible says if any man in James chapter 1, if any man, or James chapter 3 says if any man doesn't offend in word, he's a perfect man able to control the whole body. And it talks about offend, it talks about stumble. And people's words are tripping them up. By your words of your mouth are you snared. So the Bible said, you're snared by the words of your mouth. Hallelujah. Matthew 8, 16. I want to show you this in action. I'm going to read down through here. We're going to see Jesus in action, how he dealt with the negative on the earth and how he changed it. Because you can't do it any different than he does. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. You see that? And healed all that were sick. How many times we'll see here at the end of this little portion of scriptures we're going to look at, anytime he cast out devils, he didn't think it away. He didn't pray it away. He opened his mouth and cast them out. Glory to God. Now, let's see here. Drop down to verse 23. So, here was a casting out spirits with his word. When there was a problem, what did he do? He opened his mouth and used faith words filled with authority and faith. It said, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. His disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose, and look at this. How did he get the winds of the sea to stop? He rebuked it. The winds of the sea. What did he do? He opened his mouth and told it to knock it off. Yeah. What about when you get those thoughts of oppression and depression and fear and anxiety, thoughts of being offended? Why do you sit there and let those come on you? It's of the devil. Why don't you say, knock it off in the name of Jesus? You stop that. No, but we just sit there and muddle around in it and get afraid and worried, and our faith goes down the tubes and our love walk goes down the tubes, and then we wonder, come on, people. You have a storm in your life and you want it stopped? You got to open your mouth and do something about it. And storms come in all sorts of different shapes and sizes. Hallelujah. It's true. Praise God. And so he opened his mouth and rebuked the winds and the sea. Praise God. And now go to verse 28. And when he was coming to the other side of the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass this way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God? Are you come here to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of pigs feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if you cast us out, allow us to go into the herd of swine. What are they saying? We're going to have to do whatever you tell us to do. Who is that? The devils. You know the very ones that you have authority over? They said, what? And then look what he said in verse 32. And he said unto them with authority and faith, go. And what happened? They did. They went out, went into the pigs, and went over the cliff. It's a pig roast. As a pig roast, if you're on the bottom of the cliff, I guess they went into the sea, so you had to get them out of the water. We waterlogged pigs, but, you know, the barbecue will dry them off. And that's what happened. Open his mouth. Glory to God. Now look at verse chapter 9 and verse 1. As he entered into the ship, this is the last one we're going to look at. As he entered into the ship, passed over, came over to his own city, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said, excuse me, under the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and walk. But that you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then he saith unto the sick of the palsy, he saith unto the problem, arise, take up your bed, and go into your house. What did he do when negative or the devil stuff tried to press him? He opened his mouth and used authority laced with faith. And it changed. Glory to God. And I know what you're thinking. Good for Jesus. I'm not Jesus. And neither are you, Pastor Mike. I don't need to be Jesus. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Oh, this is where the rubber meets the road and where Christians have sat in ignorance years and years. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. We know that word's not power because we did our study and looked that up. It's the Greek word exousia, not dunamis. Dunamis is power. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now notice what he says there. Now think about this. If he's saying all authority is given to me in heaven and earth, how did he get that authority? Well, he got that authority by taking, remember Jesus went down, we saw that last week. He defeated the devil, made a show of them openly. Remember, he paralyzed, stripped, put to naught the principalities and powers, right? Made a show of them openly. He took the keys of hell and death and grave, you know, he's on authority. So now he's got authority in heaven and earth. But big deal, if Jesus, who's seated on the right hand of the Father, has authority, it doesn't do anything for us unless he transfers it to us. And look what he says in Matthew's account, and then we're going to look over at Mark's account, because this is after, you know, he's getting ready to go out of here, and I would leave planet Earth, go to heaven. He says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. And the disciples will think, well, that's great, you're leaving. He says, no. Now, this one doesn't fully give you the picture, but the next one will. Go you, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things, whatever I've commanded you. And lo, I am always with you until the end of the world. Now, go to Mark chapter 16. Look what also he said at the end. Got to take the whole Bible in here. Look at every get. Sometimes it's like a puzzle. Put it together to get the full picture, you know. Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 17. He's talking to his disciples, told them, go in the world, preach the gospel. Verse 16 said, everybody that's baptized or believes and baptized shall be saved. He that doesn't believe will be damned. But then he said this, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now look at this, what he's saying. Now remember Jesus said, I have all authority in heaven and on the earth. Well, we already know he exercised the authority over demonic oppression. He exercised his authority over lack on the earth. We saw him do that many times. He exercised his authority over sickness, oppression in people, emotional and mental. He exercised his authority and got what he needed, praise God. And look what he said. In my name. So he's saying to you, I have authority on the place where you're at, but I'm giving you my name to use on planet Earth. And with that name, look at this, you will cast out devils. Well, isn't that what Jesus did? Well, he's not here to do it anymore, but he had authority to do it, and guess what? He gave us that authority now. So that's why we deal with the devil, but we have authority through his name. And then he says, in my name, they'll speak with new tongues. We know that's true. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. What's that called? Supernatural protection in the name of Jesus. Now look at this one. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. Well, that's what he did on planet Earth. He used his authority and faith and healed people. And he says, now I'm giving you the use of my name. Praise God. But I need to show you something. In our few minutes that we have left here. Go with me to Acts 3 and verse 1. Acts 3 and verse 1. Next week we're going to dive into this deeper because we don't have time tonight. But I'm going to tell you something that, I'm just saying hardly anyone has the fullness, I don't know if anybody has the fullness revelation of it, of the name of Jesus. And what the name of Jesus actually affords us. What's actually behind that name. What's actually the power that is laced in that name that he said, I'm giving you my name to use. And so many times we've heard things like this and we'll say, we'll use Mark 11:23 and we'll confess. You know, I need a new job. So you'll say, I thank you for a job. You're speaking to that mountain. I thank you for that job in the name of Jesus. And in our minds, we think because we heard the name of Jesus, and you've heard Pastor Mike talk about that seals the deal, that it's done, and then nothing changes. Or in the name of Jesus, I command this thing to leave my body. In the name of Jesus. Well, Jesus never didn't get results unless the people were the problem. In Mark chapter 6, when they didn't believe, he said, you're doubting unbelief. He always, when he used his authority, he always got results. But why, when we use the name of Jesus over and over again, deal with the same stuff time after time and don't get a change? We're using the name. He said, if we use the name, I heard a phrase the other day. I was watching a show, and the last time I heard this was on a Palio string cheese commercial. Au contraire, mon frère. Still don't know what that means. Someone told me once, but I don't know what it means. I think it fits here. And so Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, I want to show you this. Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate. See, I'm here to tell you, the problem you're going through, Jesus can fix it. And you know how Jesus is going to fix it? By using his name and authority. Everything you're going through, not one thing could stump him. Not one thing is too powerful for him. I don't care how much you've been through it. I don't care how many times you've been around that mountain. He is powerful enough to do it. And I know we confess against these things, for loneliness or depression. In the name of Jesus, go, and it doesn't go. And we think something's off. Well, there is something off. You're right, there's something off. A certain man from his mother's womb was laid there daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them to enter the temple, who seeing Peter and John, this guy is crippled from birth. Seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with John said, look on us. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Peter said, I don't have any silver and gold with me, but what I do have you, I give you in the name. Do you see it there? In the name. What's Peter doing? Acting like what Jesus would do. But how do we act like Jesus? We use the name. We use the name. And it says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. A miracle happened. Amen. Why? Because there's nothing too hard for Jesus. Amen. You know why we don't see more miracles and things? Because we think it's hard. And he needs our faith. When I told you the Lord told me to believe for $1 million, I had people that told me that tripped them up. Why? Because you think that's hard for him. You think $1 million is hard for God? All of his streets are gold. The jewels and the thrones and all the rubies and diamonds. I mean, there's so much up there. And we talk $1 million, or we think healing and miracles and things, and we think it's so hard, and that squashes the whole thing. You have to see it from his perspective. Jesus never encountered anything. Remember when he's talking about the man sick of the palsy, or they brought the man's bed in? He said, which is it easier to say, forgive your sins, or heal him? He called them both easy. He said, forgiving them's easy, healing them's easy. Why? Nothing's too hard for Jesus. The name. The name. And so they're walking, leaping, praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, verse 10. And they that knew that he was, which was set for alms at the gate Beautiful of the temple, they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened. Now, for time's sake, let's see here. I want to skip down. So these people come around. What in the world happened? We know this man. He's been here forever. Now he's different. Peter then stands up and gives him a little sermon. And then he tells him in 16 what happened. Now, we know this, that Peter used the name, didn't he? Peter doesn't have the power to heal a man lame from birth. But when you're operating in the name, it's not about your power. It's not about your ability. Hallelujah. We'll see next week about the name of Jesus, how it's likened to power of attorney. If I'm power of attorney for somebody and their resources are large, and I can go write a check with their name on the bank account and put my name on their power of attorney, it doesn't matter if in my bank account I have the resources. It doesn't matter if I have enough to write the cash that check that's being written for. If they have it and I use their name, I get it. And so he said, what's going on? And he said, Peter said, it was his name. Well, wasn't it the name? Because he said, in the name of Jesus. But it wasn't just words. Peter didn't just start copying something. It was his name. Look at the rest. Through faith in his name, which made this man strong, whom you see now and know. Peter, when he said in the name of Jesus, wasn't hoping it was going to work. He wasn't wondering if it was going to work. And when we look at next week, the power of attorney, we'll probably come back and look at some of these things. But that's okay. Hearing it more than once is good. When I go with, if I'm power of attorney for President Trump's bank account and I go to buy my groceries at Walmart and I write a check from his account and put my name to it, I'm not wondering if this thing's going to bounce. I'm not hoping it works. Why? I know the resources. I know what's available. When Peter said, I'm using the name, I know everything that's packed in that name. And what do? We just blatantly just say the name of Jesus with a wish and a hope, not fully recognizing and having faith in the name. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Real quick, go to Acts 19:13. A couple more. We're not pray tonight. We're going to pick up prayer next week. But Acts 19:13. Acts 19:13. Be praying on your own when we don't pray. Amen. Acts 19:13. Now, I want to show you this. It wasn't just the name. Peter said, I had faith in that name. When I used that name, I knew it was back in that name. That's why I was, think of how confident he must have been in the name. Yeah. I mean, this is what you call what people would say, a hard case, someone that's been there since birth. And he had so much confidence, he says, I don't have any money, but what I do, and he just pulled him right up on his feet. Yeah. Why, he knew the name will work. But how many times do we confess something and we're not, or we go to lay hands on the sick in his name and we're thinking, God, I hope this works. Oh, what if it doesn't work? That's not faith. You need to go back to the name, because when Peter said in the name, he knew, done deal. It's done. And Jesus told you, you can use my name. But we don't have faith in that name a lot of times like we should. And we say it. It says this, there were certain of the vagabond Jews, they were exorcists, took upon them, notice this, to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of a man named Sceva, a Jew and a chief priest, which also did this. So there's these people that have evil spirits. They've heard Paul do this before and seen it work. And so they think, well, we want to do that. So they're saying, in the name of Jesus, these evil spirits, come out. There's seven sons of a man named Sceva that are doing this. And look at what happens in verse 16 or verse 15. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, with the Pastor Mike translation, who the heck are you? I threw heck in there. Who the heck are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was, so the man that was possessed, the spirit leapt off of him and onto them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Wait a second now. They used the name. They used the name. But we have a clue here. In verse 15, the evil spirit said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? In verse 13, it says, the exorcists took upon themselves to call over which had evil spirits by the name of Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. What were they doing? Echoing. They're just echoing. In the name of Jesus, come out of him. And all that devil came out of him and jumped right on them and kicked their hiney naked all the way out the door. That would have been a sight to see. That would have made America's Funniest Home Videos. That would have been a good one, you know. It had to be all blurred out, you know, with the nakedness. But, you know, we would have known what was going on there. All of a sudden, there's no blur, and then there's a blur. Oh, the spirit got their clothes, too. Wow. But what's he say in verse 13? Those Jews have no revelation of the name. They're just saying it. Just like we talked about people saying faith words with no faith. Now, what's happened with the name of Jesus in using it, it's become such church lingo that we just think that when we just say it, it's just going to, just like, well, if I confess, it'll come to pass. No, you're wrong. You're deceived. It's become like any old phrase, like, that really means nothing, you know? How about when people, this is a good one, people say, if you need anything, let me know. Okay, now let's think about that statement. So you're saying to me, if I need your house and your car and I need all your food and all your clothes, if I need that, you're going to give it to me because you just said. When we say if you need anything, you know, our heart might be right, but truly, it's empty words. How many times have you said to somebody, hi, how are you? And you don't really give a rip how they're doing. It's just politeness, right? And then they actually proceed to tell you, and you're like, why did I ask them this? They vomit on you, you know? I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just telling you the truth. We throw these terms around. I went into Caleb's room today, and he was watching YouTube, and he was watching old football highlights. And I saw Scott Norwood with his one little bar face mask, and I could see that it was the kick against the Giants in the 1990 Super Bowl, and when he kicked wide right, you know. And I looked at Caleb, and I said, that was the worst day of my life. Well, think about that. If that's the worst day of my life, that's a pretty good life. That wasn't true, but we just casually say things. But that's what's happened with the name. In the name of Jesus, I command that sickness to go. In the name, well, I said the name. Well, so did they. And nothing happened. Well, something happened, but not what they wanted. Glory to God. Now, this is what we're going to close on and go into next week. The reason they didn't have knowledge of the name, and so therefore it didn't work when they used the name. Why? Because what is faith's mama? Faith's mama is knowledge. Knowledge gives birth to faith. So when you can use the name of Jesus all you want, but if it's not laced with faith, it won't work. Because Peter said it wasn't just the name, it was faith in the name. And you can't have faith in the name until you know about the name, because knowledge precedes faith. You don't get faith without knowledge. Knowledge births faith, praise God. So we're next week going to hit the name of Jesus and see what does that name mean for us. What does that name have in it? So when we actually go to him in prayer and say, in the name of Jesus, understand what's actually taking place. When we actually get the nerve to lay hands on the sick in the grocery store or at our place of employment because Jesus said we could, and nothing will turn people on more to Jesus than if you can get them healed. And we actually have the nerve to lay hands on them in the name of Jesus and know, and not have that worrisome thought. Because think about it. If we weren't worried that it wouldn't work, we'd do it a whole lot more. I'm telling you, I'm just saying, myself included. Because you're like, oh, no, what if it doesn't work? Why don't we make it so it does work? Why don't we get revelation of the name like Peter did? Peter wasn't, oh boy. And I said, get up, let's go. You're different now because of the name. Because every time Jesus ministered, he didn't say, now, devils, you go. Is it working? Did that happen? Or rebuke the wind and the sea. Peace be still. Did anybody see this? Did the storm calm down? No, he knew. He said it, walked away. Praise God. So we'll look at the name next week. Amen? We're learning authority. Hallelujah. Sure love you and appreciate you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. We glorify and magnify you. We praise you and bless you tonight. We honor you and worship you and thank you. Come on and worship him with me. Praise God. I know we're a room full of believers tonight. But if by chance there's somebody watching online right now and you're not saved, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's simple, it's free. God made it simple and easy for you and free because he loves you so much. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 9, that is your template, that is your outline of how to become a Christian, how to be saved, how to get God as your Father. It says if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so if you're watching right now and you say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, I don't know if I'm in the kingdom of God. Listen, it's not enough to believe in God. The devil believes in God. He's not going to heaven. It's about receiving his son, Jesus. Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except through me. So if you're watching, you say, I don't know, I'm not sure, Pastor Mike, I think I'm saved, I've been a good person, I've gone to church. None of those things are how you get in. It's about Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth, believe it in your heart. And so when we close this service, I encourage you, get on your knees, get in a quiet place with him, and just cry out to him and pray a prayer from your heart that sounds like this. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you'll do that, God will save you, forgive you. Heaven will be yours. God will be your Father. Send me an email. Give me a phone call. I'd love to help you with your next steps. You don't ever have to step foot in this church. It's not about going to church. It's not about becoming a member here. It's just about receiving Jesus and then learning what he has for you next. But Father, we're just so grateful for our word tonight. We're not going to put up with this stuff anymore. We have to put a stop to it. If we don't bind it, it ain't going to be bound. If we don't loose it, it ain't going to be loosed. So Lord, we thank you that we're learning, we're growing, we're getting stronger. They're putting the devil on the run. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, put your offering in as you go, and we'll see you Sunday morning. Love you. You're dismissed.